On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Good Wednesday evening to all of you. Thursday morning to most of you, I assume, actually. First Unforced Airs of 2017. Let's go. Happy New Year! Welcome back to the Tall Can Audio Network, first podcast we've produced in 2017. My name's Matt Robinson. More stuff coming for you, hopefully later this week. As Thursday evening, we'll see the gold medal game between Canada and Sweden at the World Junior Hockey Championships, following which Rob and myself will work to put together a recap show, a recap thing. Got some good feedback on the title of the World Junior thing before it kicked off, so we'll probably stay in that vein. As I mentioned, this is the first podcast of 2017. Put out a couple over the holidays of the Unforced Airs podcast. Difficult, as you would imagine, as much for you to listen, really, to find a co-host. Everybody's busy. We got stuff going on. Everybody does. So we put out two episodes, I believe, of the Unforced Airs podcast since Audio Whiplash number 57 and Tall Can Sports 102, which kind of wrapped up the year for the main shows on the network. We are, like I said, looking in the next couple of days to get those shows back up and running for you. Until then, just a couple of little things I wanted to run by you. One of the main reasons, I won't lie to you, to do the show tonight was to test out a new piece of technology we have here in the studio. The Electro Voice RE320 microphone is one that I've had my eye on for a little while. I won't spend much time on it because most of you don't care. But we do, in the podcast community, tend to be interested in the setups that some of the other shows are running and what people are using. This is a microphone I've had my eye on for quite a while now. Broadcast standard microphones, Electro Voice RE20 and RE27ND, are standard across the radio industry. This is kind of a cross between the two of them, takes the best from each microphone. And it's a pretty high-quality piece of technology here that I've had my eye on for quite a while and recently got my hands on. So this is the maiden voyage for this microphone. That's about all the time we're going to put into that. But that's kind of a nod to some of the other podcasters I know who listen, who, like I said, enjoy knowing what some of the other people out there are using. So, like I said, I don't want to spend a ton of time on the World Juniors. I did attend the Centennial Classic. We'll talk a little about that in a few minutes. It's worth mentioning the World Juniors tonight just because there's such a short turnaround between the semis and the finals. Today was the semifinals. Russia and USA started the day, followed by Canada, Sweden, and it was a fantastic day for fans of this event. Really, the Russia-USA game, despite how good Canada-Sweden turned out to be, Russia-USA was the money. Man, what a hockey game. And both goaltenders, for me, absolutely outstanding. Unbelievable at times. Tyler Parsons plays for the London Knights. I believe he's a Calgary draft pick. Was outstanding for the United States. And Ilya Samsonov, of course, a Washington pick. They seem to know how to pick their Russians pretty well. So that was a fantastic game. I hate watching big games end in a shootout. It's super entertaining. I'll never take that away from it. But it's just not the way you want to see things decided. At least not for me. That overtime, both goalies made some big saves in the 10 minutes of overtime. There was no reason to not play another 10 minutes. When it comes to, I don't know why they differentiate the semis and the finals so much. Like in the finals, it's a 20-minute overtime. Why in the semifinal is it only 10? Like they're both single elimination scenarios. The United States end up taking that game in the shootout. Funny moment, as the IIHF recently changed their semifinal and final shootout rules to be five shooters per side. I guess not everyone got the memo. The Russians were leading after three shots, which used to be the rule, and a couple of their guys jumped the bench ready to celebrate, which apparently was a little premature. Of course, the Americans come back and win it. Troy Terry was unbelievable for the Americans. Guy had balls of steel. Three different five-hole dekes. Like, as our friend Matty Lang said on Twitter, guy thinks he's playing a video game. I don't know where you get the nerve to pull that shit off, but he did it, and he did it great. So, hell of a game there. The Americans move on. Russians going home. I thought through the round robin, the Americans were the better team. The Russians certainly put a scare into them. It was a hell of a game. But I think the Americans are the deserving winners there. Canada-Sweden, as far as 60 minutes of hockey goes, Canada was the deserving team. As far as tournament-long performance goes, the Swedes are headed home early. Hell of a game. 5-2, Canada takes it with the empty netter. I don't know how you come away from this game not feeling bad for Connor Ingram. Didn't have a great start. Gave up two goals on three shots, so I'm not going too far out on a limb. Carter Hart comes in. He's fantastic for the rest of the way. He pitches a shutout in essentially, you know, what was it, 53 minutes of hockey, 55 minutes of hockey. He was great. And we'll get to this a little bit, I'm sure, on Tall Can Sports with Rob when he comes back into the studio. I don't know what the Swedish coaching staff is doing with Rasmus Dahlin. For those of you not familiar with that name, young prospect, not yet drafted. A lot of people throwing a lot of really high praise around for this kid. Some people even saying maybe the next Erik Karlsson. I have a hard time believing that he's going to be the next Erik Karlsson because it's been a long time since, you know, before this Erik Karlsson, since there was another Erik, Paul Coffey, maybe, was the last one. These guys don't come around every couple of years. They come around every couple of decades. But this kid's supposed to be a big deal, and I'm not up on my Swedish junior hockey enough to say for sure that he won't be Erik Karlsson. It just seems like one of those things that gets thrown around at this type of event. Glued to the bench for the first two periods, and I don't really have a problem with that. I guess if he's that good, if you thought he belonged on the team, you should be using him, I guess. But if you've decided he's not ready, whether it be physically or mentally, to stand up to a Canadian forecheck or the hostile crowd or whatever the situation may be, then I don't really have a problem with you leaving him stapled to the bench. But you can't then turn around in the third period and throw him out there. Now, to be fair, once they did, he didn't look out of place. But all that says to me is that the Swedish coaching staff underestimated him and he should have been out there to start with. You know, for the first two periods. But it's a hell of a situation to put a kid in when you've told him for 40 minutes you're not good enough, and then all of a sudden, okay, now we need you. You know, where's his confidence at? It's a weird thing to do to a kid. And I guess once you're down, is it possible the Swedes overestimated themselves, underestimated Team Canada? I doubt it. This Canadian team hadn't looked great through the round robin, but they're always going to put up a fight. I can't imagine the Swedes thought, we don't need him. So it must have been more of a, we don't want to subject him to this situation. Well, then you need to stick to that. Because now you threw him in there, you lost anyway, he was on the ice for the empty net goal against. He made a couple of pretty nice plays. He was skating really well, controlled the pace a little bit. But you kind of waffled. So, to me, that was a mistake. It was an interesting note in the game. We'll talk more about Team Canada in general after all this kind of comes full circle at the end of the tournament. We see where this all ends up. To be honest, I picked the Swedes to beat Canada in the semis here. I also picked Finland to make the semifinals, so shows what my picks are worth. But coming into this, I thought the Swedes were the better team, and they turned out to not be. Why don't we move along here to talk a little bit about the Centennial Classic. To be honest, we thought about doing a show following the game, but by the time we got out of the stadium and on the train and back to where I was staying, then, you know, you want to have a couple of drinks and a bit of pizza. It'd been a long, cold day. We just didn't get to it. The situation didn't really present itself to do a show on the road. It's always interesting trying to put something together out of the studio. Like, this is great right now. We're back in a controlled environment. We got the mixer here. We got everything set up exactly how we want it to be. Whereas some of these mobile setups that we get putting together, sometimes it can be a nightmare, right? And it wasn't going to be a nightmare here, but it wasn't going to be as easy as just throwing it together and going. And so we just decided not to bother. It was a fantastic atmosphere. And we'll talk a little bit about this on Tall Can Sports with Rob, because I know he's got a couple of questions, a couple of things he wanted to address about it. But man, it was a great event, a great atmosphere. Saw a fist fight in front of the handicap bathroom between an old man and a guy on a scooter. That was cool. I'm going to leave that there as a tease for the next Tall Can Sports with Rob to tell that story. But that was awesome. It might be on YouTube. I'm not sure. Type in Centennial Classic Handicap Bathroom Brawl. Maybe it'll come up. If it doesn't come up, I'm sure something cool will come up. You can let us know at Tall Can Audio on Twitter what you find when you type that into YouTube. They put 41,000 people in the building. For the first period or two, Toronto not doing much, right? So the crowd was, I don't want to say dead, but it did seem a little like an Air Canada Centre crowd, and maybe it should with the prices they were charging. But once the third period got going and the Leafs got fired up, it was a loud crowd. I don't know how it came off on TV. I've got a PVR, but I haven't had a chance to go back and take a look at it. Typically, these sorts of outdoor venues don't come off great on TV. They look okay, but most crowds I have found historically don't sound great. And it's really easy to look at something like Chicago, where you know they have a rabid crowd, right? That United Center, it gets unbelievably loud. And you move outside for them to go play at Soldier Field or Wrigley Field or whatever they're going to do, because they've been in like a dozen of these, and that sound just doesn't transfer. When you don't have a roof on the building, it kind of escapes instead of in an arena where it gets held down and it all gets picked up. So I don't know how it came off on TV. Throughout the third period and overtime, it was a great crowd. Great environment, great atmosphere. Caught Elliot Friedman at one point in the third period up behind us dancing. The Sportsnet booth was set up not too far from us in the stands. And so at one point they came out just to kind of check out the environment, check out the vibe. And so this was in the third period during a commercial break, and they had the tunes cranked up, and Friege comes out, and he's kind of looking around. You can see him grooving a little bit. He's starting to sway. They got some techno music playing. Kelly Rudy was with him. He was not grooving. Kelly was not, I don't know, he must not have been feeling it quite the way Friedman was. Nick Kyprios was there. I know over the years I've had some negative things to say about Nick Kyprios, but he was immediately swarmed by some kids and some fans, and he seemed to be taking time to just, you know, a couple of autographs, a couple of pictures, chat with people. I've never heard that Nick Kyprios is a douchebag. I've never heard anything negative like that in terms of the way he is to the fans. I don't usually agree with his analysis. I don't really agree with his pro Rodgers stance on everything, but he seemed to be giving his time to the fans who wanted to talk to him. So that's pretty cool, but not as cool as watching Elliot Friedman kind of dancing behind us there in the stands. So it was an awesome atmosphere. Game goes into overtime, and you know who, of course, is going to score? Auston Matthews, the Leafs wunderkind. And so I thought, because it's fun, and if you're not a Leaf fan, you're probably tuning out right now. That's okay, because we do this now and then. And it's really your fault that we do this. Those of you who jumped up and down early in the season saying that he was a bust, saying that Patrick Laine was better, all these sorts of things. And so now, when the numbers clearly say that's not the case, we're going to run him down again. We got a couple of new Leaf stats. We got a couple of new Auston Matthews numbers here. And I know you love it. And we're going to check in on that right now. And that's probably how we'll wrap this up. So if you're not interested in hearing about the Leafs and Auston Matthews a little more, this is probably a good time for you to check out. Like I said, we'll have Tall Can Sports and Audio Whiplash coming up in the next couple of days. We're going to bounce around here a little bit, back and forth between Toronto numbers and Auston Matthews numbers, and there's not a lot of them here, just a couple. I find this stuff interesting. Like I said, partly because some of you deserve to be brought down a peg, and partly just because we're kind of watching history here. I think most people would agree this has been a season where Toronto is turning the corner. We can debate whether or not this is a championship core. There's no way to know that. I don't think until they improve their defense, it's a championship core. But there's no question they have turned the corner here from what they have been for the last several years. And so through the first 37 games of the season, 38 games now, as I took down a couple of these notes, the reason we're going to be bouncing around here is because I didn't take my notes in order. I just kind of took them as I found them, and here we are. So this comes from before last night's overtime loss to the Washington Capitals. 12 of Toronto's 38 games have been regulation losses. If you think about that, that's a pretty good number. Only 12 times in 38 games have they been beaten in regulation. And there's only four teams in the NHL that are better than that. And those are teams that we're talking about likely to win a championship, or at least be in contention for one. So the Leafs aren't rolling over particularly easy. Even games that they're losing, they're getting points out of, which is pretty impressive for a young team. Auston Matthews has 34 points. Only four of them are secondary assists. So he's not padding his stats with shit that we all kind of agree could be coincidental. He's either scoring or directly setting up plays. He's not the second guy on this. Or maybe he touched it and pushed it into the zone and then something happened. He is directly involved with everything. 34 points, only four secondary assists. So 30 out of 34 times, he's directly involved. Let's talk for a second about our friends in Ottawa. Specifically the Sens fans, not the smart fans in Ottawa who also like Toronto. Sens Twitter loves to talk about how terrible the Leafs are. The Leafs are now only 3 points behind Ottawa with a game in hand. People have been talking all year about how great Ottawa's been and how surprising their run has been. Toronto's right there with second place Ottawa at this point. So we may want to chill that out a little bit. How about Buffalo? Should we compare with Buffalo for a second? Jack Eichel scored 24 goals in his first 81 games in the league. Austin Matthews, who Buffalo will tell you isn't fit to carry Jack Eichel's jockstrap, has scored 20 goals in his first 37 games. That's actually better than what Eichel has done. For those of you not great with math, the other thing that Austin Matthews has going for him is he doesn't have to live in Buffalo. He's got 8 points in his last 4 games. That's not too shabby. He's now on pace to score 45 goals and 76 points. That is also pretty good. Eichel is not on pace for that stuff for Buffalo fans, just so we can, you know, make sure everyone's up to snuff on that. Detroit fans like to talk about Dylan Larkin. He's got roughly the same amount of 5-on-5 points as Zach Hyman, who Toronto fans badly think is holding Austin Matthews back. Detroit fans think Dylan Larkin is elite. The numbers don't seem to back that up. Toronto has only lost 4 of their last 17 games in regulation. I know some of you who hate the Leafs have stuck around and are not enjoying this at all, and that is, I gotta tell you, the main point of this show. It's over. I'm now just torturing you. This is just for you, Montreal fans, Edmonton fans, especially one Edmonton fan in particular. I know you're listening. I know you're hating this. So things are good right now in Leafland. There's probably a slump coming. It's a young team. But right now, all the hate that's been thrown around at this organization for like a decade while people laughed and pointed and what, it's coming back at you hard, and it's going to be soon. If it's not now, there are people out there saying that we need to no longer have the conversation about Matthews versus Line A. We need to have the conversation Matthews versus McDavid. I'm not one of those people. I think Connor McDavid is a once-in-a-lifetime player. But I think at the end of the day, Matthews is going to be closer to McDavid than any of us predicted. Now, again, settle down. Maybe that's as close as Mario Lemieux to Wayne Gretzky. Maybe that's even too much. I don't think anyone... I'm not trying to compare McDavid to Gretzky, because I don't think that's a fair comparison. I don't think anyone's touching that. I'm just trying to say that might be the gap. I don't think Jack Eichel is going to be in the conversation. I don't really think Patrick Laine is going to be in the conversation. Patrick Laine tonight took over the scoring lead again. He's at 21 goals. Matthews is at 20. But earlier in the season, there were people saying this was a mismatch. It's not. When you see the things that Matthews does in his own end, the plays that he makes, man, did you see the pass that he made to Komarov in Washington the other night? Leafs lose in overtime to the Capitals. Not too shabby. And if they could hold a third period lead, that would never happen. Now they can't, so it did. But it's going to be a closer race than people think over the course of their careers. One of the things I thought to myself tonight, watching the end of that World Junior game as we come full circle and wrap this up, was there we could be, it's going to be USA-Canada for gold. In a more fun world, that's McDavid versus Matthews. Both those guys are still junior eligible, and they'd face off, and that'd be a hell of a lot of fun. Again, my goggles are not so blue-colored that I think Matthews is going to be Connor McDavid, but I think that's going to be fun to watch for quite a while. And I think for at least the next couple of years, Crosby's still going to have something to say about that conversation. But I think that's probably about where we can wrap this one up. Like I said, I didn't want to get too in-depth on anything at this point. Just a couple of things on my mind, a couple of numbers, a couple of thoughts after the day at the World Juniors. And we'll go more in depth the next time we get Captain Blowhard in studio here, which is hopefully going to be in the next couple of days. We can kind of wrap all this up and kind of kick off 2017. Centennial Classic was a blast. The World Juniors have been kind of blah. I didn't think Canada was getting past Sweden, so it'd be kind of disingenuous of me now to say I think they're getting past the Americans. If Carter Hart, I'll say this though, is going to play like he did against the Swedes, we're in way better shape than I expected we would be. But if Tyler Parsons is going to play like he did against the Russians, then that kind of gets squared back off, right? I do think it's going to be a hell of a game. Hope yous all enjoy it. We'll be back with an episode of Tall Can Sports to kind of put a bow on all of that in the next couple of days. This has been Unforced Errors, the first one of 2017. Make sure you check out some of the other shows around the Tall Can Audio Network. They are all available to you at tallcanaudio.com. And we'll see you on the next one. My name is Matt Robinson. Have yourselves a great day.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Tall Can Audio.